Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. This is a very interesting verse of Scripture, and it'll teach us a lot about our lives as Christians. The Bible says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Let's read it again. Proverbs 27, 17. "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Now, you know the picture of iron sharpening iron. It's the picture of a tool being sharpened by a file. You take something like a steel file or an iron file and put it up against the head of an axe, and then you begin to rub that thing together, and you begin to file that axe blade down so that the rough edge then is made sharp. And then as you go to work on the tree that you're trying to cut down or whatever, that sharp edge on that axe will make your work easier. You won't have to put it, you know, just have to hit it quite so hard because you're working with a sharp instrument. But it takes a piece of, you see, hard metal to run up against the other hard metal to put that edge on there. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 21. You'll actually see the word file used in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 21. All right, and the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 21, "Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and the axes, and to sharpen the goads." You see that? Okay, so the mattocks and all these other things that are kind of like farm implementation, farm equipment, farm implements, that's what we're trying to say, that are used by a man in the farming business or in cultivation or in land management, to help him. All right, a mattock. A mattock is like a pickaxe in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 21. "Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads." Okay, well, there you go. The mattock is like a pickaxe. The coulter is a sharp steel wedge that cuts vertically through the soil and precedes the plow. We still use that word today. The forks, like a pitchfork or an earth fork, you know, that more, it's a earth fork. The steel is heavier than it is in a pitchfork, and you drive that down into the soil, and then you can break up soil when you're working in flower beds and things like that. All right, axes, you know what that is. A small axe is a hatchet, and then you've got the large one, and it can be two-bladed or it can be single-bladed. And to sharpen the goads, a goad is a pointed instrument used to prod into motion. So this file is used to put a sharper edge or a sharper point on any one of these kinds of instruments. It's steel against steel, iron against iron. All of these things that we read about here, the mattock, coulter, forks, axes, goads, you know, swords too, and those things, they all had to be sharpened with a file. The rubbing of the file against the iron caused something to be filed off on each side of the blade, thus causing it to sharpen. All right, you've seen the process and you know how it works. Well, here's the application. As you spend time with people, they're going to rub off on you. So what do you need to do? You need to determine what you would like to be like as you mature, and then begin to hang around those people. Because what happens to you is they rub off on you. They file you. They sharpen you. They sharpen your countenance. "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And remember, you get the good with the bad. So be sure to balance your contacts. In other words, if you've got one fella and he rubs off on you and he's sharpening your countenance, be sure to balance what he's giving you with somebody else's presence and with that somebody else's company, so that wherever you're getting a weakness from one fellow, he can be offset by the strength of another. That way you'll be sharper, better. A lot of your sharpness, they say he's a sharp person, comes from, you know, who you've been in contact with. If teens would think about that today and they say, okay, I'm going to hang around that group of people right there, all right, then consider the end of the matter. How does that group of gang members end up? Well, they all end up with tattoos. They all end up with venereal disease. They all end up hooked on dope. They all end up in an early grave. Those that don't end up in an early grave end up in the penitentiary. They all end up with illegitimate children by three or four different women. You see how it goes? And if that's what you want, you want to be dead by the time you're 40 or locked up in jail and all tattooed up and all kinds of venereal disease and children from several different women, none of whom you can support. If that's the way you want to end up, then join a gang. Be that, see? Consider the end of the thing. Because that's the way you're going to turn out. Iron sharpeneth iron. You can't help it. You hang around a certain group of people, and what they are will rub off on you. You want to be a success? Hang around successful people. You want to be a good Christian? Hang around good Christians. You want to be sharp, a brainy, smart? Hang around smart people. Study like smart people. Because they rub off on you. You know, it's an amazing thing. I've noticed this in the ministry. It's unavoidable. The man you train with is the man you're going to emulate. Paul even said that to Timothy and to the men that he wrote. He said, follow me. Let's see. I'm thinking about a verse over here that he wrote in the New Testament. It could be in Philippians. I believe it is in Philippians. And look what he says here. It just came to mind about this thing about rubbing off on somebody. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's Philippians 4, 9. In other words, Paul said, you see what I'm doing? Do that. You see what you're learning from me? Do that. You see that what you've received from me, the things you've heard from me, the things you've seen in me? He said, that's what I want you to do. Well, when you train with somebody, you begin to emulate those things that you have learned, received, heard, and seen. That's the way that Jesus Christ trained the disciples. Just that way. They watched him. They learned from him. They received from him. They heard him. And then they were what he was. And that's why Peter said we ought to obey God rather than men. They were sharp. It rubbed off. So when men train for the ministry, you'll see them the same way. The things will rub off. I remember going to a preacher's conference or a preacher's meeting. It wasn't really a conference. It was a special meeting in a particular church. And there were probably a half a dozen preachers, maybe more, that had been invited to this meeting that was a week-long meeting. And I went to several of the sessions, all right, where the preachers preached, several of the services. And one of these fellows was a Jack Howells graduate. And when he finished preaching, he stepped down off the pulpit. When he got to the pew, he removed his suit coat. He put on a trench coat and wrapped it tightly around himself, and then went out and changed his shirt, which was now sweaty, and came back in. And I remember that trench coat, and I thought to myself, isn't that a strange thing? I said, do you see how the guy put that on and so forth? And they said, yeah, that's the way Jack Howells used to do it. He was a Jack Howells graduate. He was emulating something that he had seen. Something of Jack Howells had rubbed off on the man. And he emulated a particular pattern that he had seen in the man that trained him. Now, I've never seen that more profoundly done than with Homer Smith, the Word for the World Mission Board. And they've got, nearly 100, probably 75 to 100 missionaries out around the world now. Before he had the strokes, I'd listen to him preach, and I'd listen to that particular style that he had developed. And I was taken by it. It was so peculiar that it was what they call the hack preaching. And I then remember getting a bunch of tapes from a particular tape ministry that had a variety of really good old-time preachers. There was Bob Jones Sr., and there was B.R. Lakin, and there was Mays Jackson. So I'm listening to these old-time preachers, and I put Mays Jackson there in his cassette in the player there, and I'm beginning to listen to it, and I shut my eyes, and I think to myself, I'm listening to Homer Smith. And I got to looking into that thing, and Homer Smith was trained by Mays Jackson. And when you shut your eyes and listen to Brother Homer preach, you are listening to Mays Jackson. It rubbed off on him. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It rubbed off on him. I was trained from 1989 to 1992 in the ministry. I didn't start out in the ministry. I started out in the banking business, and I resigned the banking business in 1989 and went off to school, trained for 3 years, and when I got back, I began to pastor. The man that trained me was Dr. Peter Ruckman. And every once in a while, I'll get a fellow that calls me, generally an older gentleman, that'll call me from these radio broadcasts, and he'll say, "Where'd you go to school?" And I'll tell him, they said, I thought so. I detected some of that in you. Well, you don't detect much of it in me, but you detect it in me anyway because there is a lasting foul mark across me from it. Okay, it has to be balanced. And so there are other men that have balanced what I am because they've sharpened me. Men that I've been around have sharpened me in the things that we do in the ministry here. They've had an effect, a lasting effect, on the work that's being done. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. They've had an influence. But you know the trouble with PBI graduates? That's where I went to school. We all come out of there and we walk with a British swag and we say, "What a thing, man, what a thing, man." And we're rude to people and we make caustic comments sometimes from the pulpit because that's kind of what we heard. That's what we saw. And I don't say that critically. It's just the way it is. We're not in our own stride. We've been rubbed hard by that file. And you see a lot of the impression of that file on this iron. It takes time after that to then get a balance and kind of get into your own stride, so to speak. And after that happens, then you begin to see a change. But that's a lasting impression. All right, so remember, not only are you sharpened by the people that you hang around, and so you make a determination. I mean, let me say this about one more thing. When I got ready to go into the ministry, somebody said, "How did you choose where you went to school?" It was not hard at all. I wanted to come out with that kind of Bible training. I wanted to come out with that kind of Bible preparation because I knew one thing. I knew that the authority was in the words of God, and I wanted to learn those words of God, and I wanted to be able to preach those words of God, and I wanted to be able to teach those words of God, and I wanted to know those words of God, and I wanted to believe those words of God, and I couldn't think of any better place in the country to get that kind of training in the words of God than down there in Pensacola. So that's why I went there, okay? And I wanted that influence in my life, and I got it. All right, but remember something. Remember that you also sharpen the countenance of your friends. So what you are is going to rub off on others if you have contact with other people, and you're going to have contact with other people. And you got to ask yourself the question, how do you want to influence them? What lasting impression, what mark of your engagement with them do you want to leave? I mean, when I was back in the banking business, we entertained a lot. That's how you develop customer relationships and things like that. And I found myself an entertaining fellow. But don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that egotistically. You'll understand here in just a second. In other words, one thing that I could do is that I could listen to a joke, and then I could repeat that joke and get a laugh. And so we'd get into a social engagement with a number of friends there from the bank or from the community, and I'd tell some of those jokes. And I'll tell you, some of those jokes were really off color. I'm ashamed of them today. They were really off color, not to be repeated in mixed company, yet I did, and did it simply for a laugh, and it was entertaining, and we, you know how it goes. You've been to those kind of things before. God forbid that you should ever do it again, but I did. Well, let me tell you something. After the Lord caught me, and I got reading that Bible, I looked at that, and that was one of the first things in my life that had to go. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine told me, said, "You lost all your personality," and that's because I wouldn't tell those jokes anymore. They were filthy. All right, well, several months later, we had a big event in Beeville, and I went to the airport to pick up several people that had flown in for this event, and these were ranking government officials and things like that. And I went and picked up a suburban load of these guys. And while we were driving from the airport to the ranch where this big social get-together was, one of the guys that knew me repeated a joke that I had told about 6 months before. And I'm telling you, man, it was a gross story. And it had blasphemous words in it. And as I listened to that story with my name on it, you see, because he said, I remember hearing old Welder tell this joke, and then he began to, man, I want to tell you, I wanted to crawl under that seat. Now, those guys thought it was funny, see. They thought that that was real funny that I would say that joke. The reason I wanted to crawl under the seat is because that foul mark, that impression had rubbed off and had affected other people with my name on it. And I didn't want to have that kind of influence on them anymore. I wanted to have an influence for Jesus Christ. Now, how do you open up a conversation about Jesus Christ after you've been introduced to the rest of the people in the vehicle like that? It was horrible. So do you want to have that kind of influence on people? Or would you rather have this kind of influence? The other day, just 2 days ago, I got an email. And the email came from a relative of mine. And he said, after all these years, he was personally concerned about the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to know him and was seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and was writing me so that he and I could have a conversation on the telephone about what he needed to do to get saved. And I'm going to tell you, buddy, that is a foul mark too. That is going to be iron sharpening iron, and he knew who to call. And I am so thankful for that. Let me tell you something. Of those two things, an influential, funny, blasphemous joke, or an email desiring the Lord Jesus Christ, I would so much rather be the iron that sharpened a man to find the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than I would the man of influence who tells a funny story in order to get a laugh out of a crowd he's trying to impress. So much rather the latter than the former. But remember, whatever you do rubs off and sharpens the countenance of your friends. And so how do you want to influence them? Now, there's some things to consider. There's some things to consider. First of all, you ought to consider this. You always ought to try to make the other guy sharper. In other words, you ought to sharpen your, you ought to be sharp yourself and tough yourself and iron enough yourself and strong enough yourself to make the other guy sharper. In other words, when he has contact with you, it ought to sharpen his countenance. You ought to do him a favor. You ought to strengthen and edify him for the Lord. I'm reminded, and again, it's a personal story, but it happened nonetheless, and it's a true story, and it illustrates this as well as anything I can think of. When I first got started in the banking business, I was well-trained in college. I mean, I came from a good school, so I had an advantage over somebody that didn't go to school. And when I went through the banking to start out the first year full-time, they put me through every department of the bank. I was in what was called the management training program. And while I was going through that program, I got into the proof department. Well, the proof department is an entry-level position, and I met a proof operator. And this guy was sharp. I mean, he was a neat guy, but he didn't have any college. After high school, he went to Fort Bragg, jumped out of airplanes for 3 years, and came in and started getting this job. And he was very, very upset that I had gone to college and was guaranteed to be an officer after 1 year in the management training program, yet he thought he was smarter than me and didn't think he'd ever get that opportunity. Well, we struck up a friendship right away. And in that friendship, I encouraged him that college education may not be the very best thing for him because he was such a hard worker and he was so dedicated and he really wanted to learn. And I told him that I would take everything that I was learning in the business and I would teach him what I was learning. And you know what? Every week, I sharpened and sharpened and sharpened. But it wasn't a one-way street because when metal contacts metal, it has an effect on both pieces. Because of his zeal and his interest and his drive and his acumen, he was sharpening me. We made each other sharper. And within 5 years, we had the same title and the same level of salary in that business. You know why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. And I remember that it was my desire to make him sharper. Now, he's gone way, way beyond anything I ever accomplished in the banking business. I realized that I became president of a community bank, and that was quite an accomplishment, but he's gone way beyond that. He's done extremely well. But early on, by banging metal to metal, we were able to strengthen each other for the work that we would eventually do. And I consider that a great privilege, a great opportunity, and a great joy and delight. So, hey, remember, you always ought to try to make the other guy sharper. You oughtn't ever bring them down or dull them. All right, here's the second thing to remember. If you're being used, then you are going to have to stay sharp. If you're being used, you are going to have to stay sharp. What does that mean? Well, that means you're going to have to spend time with Jesus Christ and with good men in counsel. You can't keep putting it out, putting out, putting out, putting out, putting out, and not get sharpened back up again. You'll get dull, and you got to stay sharp. And you know something? You can tell when you're getting dull. You can tell when you need to be sharpened. Right away, you're not as effective as you were. You take, for instance, a knife. If you take a sharp knife and start cutting paper with it, you'll dull it faster than if you cut meat with it. And paper's a flimsy little thing. But pushing papers in an office, for instance, will take a sharp knife and dull him down. So in the ministry, we got to be real careful, because we're trying to do things to help other people. If I don't go back each day and get into that Bible and let the Lord Jesus Christ spend time sharpening me, and if I'm not time in prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll dull out and won't be good to anybody. Won't be good to my wife, won't be good to the folks that we minister to here, wouldn't be any good to you on the radio, wouldn't help you at all. So I've got to spend time with Jesus Christ, and I've got to get around good men in counsel. We've had the opportunity to do that from time to time. We have friends in the ministry we can speak with on the telephone, go to visit them in their churches, make a pastor's conference from time to time, something like that, and really get sharpened up. Man, it helps you. There are things in our ministry here that are the lasting influence of the men with whom we have been able to spend time in the ministry. They can see it. Other people don't know where it came from, but I can see it. You can look in this ministry and you can see the print and the file marks of the men that have had effect on this. Because why? We went back time and time again to sharpen up, to stay sharp. And if you're being used, you're going to have to stay sharp. There's no other way about it. And remember then that third thing, you can tell when you're getting dull. You can tell it, and you know you need to sharpen up, and go do it. All right, now here's another thing. The good sharp instruments of 1 Samuel 13:21, the mattock, the coulter, the fork, the axe, and the goad, those things we talked about, those are used for cultivating and working in the field and for husbandry. You see, they're used for those kinds of things. You know what they are? They are an illustration that you need to use your sharpness for the harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." These are harvesting tools and cultivating tools and plowing and planting tools, and the goad used in husbandry to push the sheep and the goat and the oxen along, to goad them, to move them. All right, use those sharp instruments in the work of the harvest. Don't dull out on the work of the world. I realize, and God bless you for it, that you've got to make a living, and God bless you for it, but making a living is not life. And making a living is not living. You are simply getting enough money together to pay your bills and to do something for the Lord financially. What you do for the harvest is what you start doing for the harvest is what you do to make an influence in other people's lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. By your caring, by your speaking to them concerning things of the Lord Jesus Christ to encourage them, by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ so they can be saved, and make sure those sharp instruments that come from striking your iron against the iron of somebody else in the ministry or another friend of yours that's saved, those things are used to help other people find Jesus. I love it. I've seen it. It's happening here. Many people are being used of the Lord Jesus Christ to have an effect on their friends and family members who have come to church and are now saved and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happened? Bang! That iron sharpened that iron, that file rubbed off like that, and their lives have been changed. Why? Because they use their sharp instruments in the harvest and in helping the Lord with sheep. That's one of the great blessings about going to a church where there's real Bible preaching and real Bible teaching. That man behind the pulpit is going to come at you like a file, and he is going to sharpen your iron, and in 1 or 2 hours, with the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, in 2 hours, you are going to go away sharper than you came because of that time spending together and the influence of the iron against the iron. All right, and here's the last thing to remember. Be careful with sharp instruments. Watch it. Be careful with sharp instruments. You can hurt somebody. I realize as Bible believers, boy, we get ourselves sharp and we say, "Man, I'm a sword for God," and you go cutting away. Well, I'll tell you, there are times when you need to hit somebody with a sword because he's an enemy of the Lord and he needs to be pricked with a sword. But you know something? There are a lot of times when a man is not an enemy of the Lord, but he acts like an enemy of the Lord, and he no more needs to be struck down with a sword than a man in the mood. You know what he needs? He needs a loving, caring, compassionate doctor who can take the Word of God, sharpest instrument in the world, and handle it with the skill of a physician and the beauty of a scalpel, and simply begin to go to work diligently to remove the cancer, to remove the sickness, to heal the wound. Just be careful with sharp instruments. They cut, and they cut deeply. And you can leave lasting wounds to people that may not need the stab or the slash of a sword. They may need the skill of a physician and the work of a scalpel and the sharpness of a suture to heal up a wound, to bind the brokenhearted. You got to remember that. Just be careful. Be careful. I've been around some good, strong, Bible-believing men, but all they knew was a scythe and a sword. And their opportunity to be able to comfort other people with the words of God was just about nil. They didn't know how to use it. You know why? They weren't careful with the sharp instruments. And it ended up wounding and hurting a lot more people. I talked to a real good friend of mine, and I noticed that he had changed some in the way he was preaching, and I asked him about it. I said, "What terrible thing happened to you?" He said, "Nothing." He said, "I just got tired of watching sheep walk out the back door of the church after services bleeding to death and knowing that I was the one that had inflicted the wound." Brilliant man. Brilliant man. So remember this verse, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." You will turn out like the people you hang around, and the people that hang around you will turn out like you. So if you want to have a good influence, hang around good people. And if you want to be a good influence, hang around people and make them sharper. Okay? And spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ so you can stay sharp and use the sharpness of your instrument in the harvest and for the husbandry of work with God's sheep. And be careful. Be careful with your sharp instruments so that they are used with the skill of a physician and not always with the skill of a warrior. All right? And God bless you when you do.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.